Welcome to Full Court Press, your one-stop shop for all your basketball news and needs from the CIS to the NBA. I've got to my left Matt Hayes, former Waterloo Warrior and host of the Sports Radio Jacks. On my right, Josh Lewinberg. Welcome to the show, guys. I'm your host, Giannis Bunkus. And today, I'd like to kick a couple things off with, first of all, actually, there's a couple of ladies walking past the radio booth constantly. I think they're eyeing up Mr. Josh Lewinberg.
I love the giant floor-to-ceiling windows here. It's really excellent for viewing.
Well, yeah. See, the thing is, I'm sitting in the seat that was previously occupied by one Jimmy Mangos during the Sports Radio Jacks program, so the ladies are probably just used to looking over here.
The creeper throne?
They're missing Jimmy. I think that's what it is. They feel a void for Jimmy.
We actually had the week off last week, so I was missing Jimmy for a whole week. That was...
You missed Jimmy for a whole week.
That was tough.
I think everybody misses Jimmy for the whole week that we had off there. So, guys, first things first, we're a basketball show, and there's some major news coming out of this country right now, which is there is a potential sale to be had, which includes MLSE and their subsequent franchises, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and for our show's sake, the Toronto Raptors.
Big deal.
Yeah, big deal, big
deal. Huge
deal. It's actually reported as the teacher's pension plan is looking for $1.3 billion for a 66% sharehold in the company.
Those teachers.
Yeah, those teachers. They want some dough.
Greedy teachers.
Greedy teachers. I think the price range seems to only suit a couple of bidders, and that's kind of who I'd like to address today. And the first one is the main guys, which is Rogers Television Network. They've expressed interest in the past to acquire these teams. And if they do acquire these teams, I'm just curious, what kind of impact do you think that's going to have on the Raptors? Are we going to get more exposure with Rogers, or are we going to lose some games by the fact that networks like the CBC won't be broadcasting Raptors games live, neither will TSN. They'll have one network. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for the NBA in Canada? Josh?
It can't be a bad thing. I mean... It's definitely a bad thing for certain television stations and radio stations that will go unnamed who will not have the rights to the Raptors if they are owned by Rogers, obviously. But it can't be a bad thing for the team or for the exposure. I mean, Rogers is a big company. All these other companies, specifically Bell, as you mentioned, they all have the potential to give the Raptors more exposure than they already have. It all has to do with how good the team is, though. I mean, ultimately, the team is going to drive itself. If the team is playing well enough to put people in the stands, people are going to be in the stands regardless of who's owning the team. So, no, I don't think it's a bad thing. I definitely think it's a good thing for the team.
I agree. I don't think, regardless of who buys it, I don't think exposure is going to suffer in Canada. They're our only team. So, if anybody's going to watch any basketball, it's going to be the Raptors. If Rogers does end up getting it, it's probably for the better, I'd have to say.
Yeah, see, my initial reaction was excitement, because in my eyes, the teacher's pension plan has absolutely no initiative to win. They have no desire to
You can look at the Toronto Maple Leafs for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Leafs, the Raptors, you could even go so far as to say the MLS team that we've got here.
The FC.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot.
But my question to you, Giannis, is how do things change? Because ultimately, the bottom line right now is the dollar sign,
well,
right? And how is that going to change when a Rogers or a Bell owns the team? I mean, ultimately, everything's about money. As long as the team is making money, what do they care if the Leafs are winning?
There's a face to Rogers. You know, it's a company. The teacher's pension plan, or the teacher's pension group, you can't tell who they are. They're completely faceless. As much as a corporation like Rogers is as well, they have a responsibility. You're buying Rogers cable packages, you're buying Rogers telephones, you're buying everything like that. Rogers, in order for them to truly succeed, I think, will have to win games. There will be more responsibility for them to actually bring a winning product to Toronto and spend more money maybe on things like management and scouting and things of that nature.
I think they really have to improve their scouting, because being the only team in Toronto, it's really hard to attract free agents. We've just seen it recently. What's the biggest free agent Toronto's
got? More scouting
gotten?
In the States or in Europe?
Both, really, because the earlier you can scout people in the States, the earlier you can try and get them to come. But you can't sign. Like, you looked at the free agents that were up all last summer, and did anybody even mention the Raptors as a possible home for LeBron James? Or it's never going to be an issue like that. The only guy we've picked up in the past, 10 years is Hito Turkoglu for $11 million.
If you asked LeBron James to point to Toronto on a map,
He'd probably say north.
Yeah, north.
Yeah, he knows the general vicinity.
But you get what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, I do. I do. He thinks that would count. I do. I think the big deal here, as Giannis kind of mentioned earlier, is how invested were the teachers in the Raptors winning games?
Not enough.
Not enough. And Rodgers, you could say they only care about the bottom line as well. But their bottom line would be directly connected to this franchise being exciting, to them winning, because ultimately, Rodgers is going to be the company that is broadcasting these games.
That's exactly how I feel.
If this team is not exciting to watch, if they're not fun to watch, if they're not winning games, people will watch them, yeah. But if they want to make as much money as they possibly can off of this team, they need to win.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
And you've got to avoid the loser tag, too, right? Like, if Rodgers all of a sudden owns three teams, they would also own the Blue Jays, of course, but if they add another three teams that don't win and don't make the postseason.
And the Marlies don't count as a winning team.
I don't think we would really count the Marlies in this transaction. I think they're pretty minor. Rico is probably worth more than the Marlies are worth. I think that's fair to say. Like I said, though, you don't want to be associated with a loser. And again, the bottom line for the teachers is very clear. That's why they're selling this in the first place. We've heard about this before. The teachers, they have an obligation to the baby boomers coming up to be able to pay out everything that they need to pay out. And also, there's a recession going on right now, and it's an unstable market. And they want to be secure. They have to be secure.
Yeah,
that's why we're
$1.3 billion secure a lot of teachers.
$1.3 billion is a pretty nice deal for some teachers. Yeah,
you talked about how it's a faceless organization. Do you have a face that you picture in your head when you think teachers' pension plan? Do you have like a former teacher that you picture when you think of this organization?
Now I do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think everyone has that one like really angry looking, really greedy looking teacher.
Thank you, Joseph Campana, the Italian Stallion.
Shout out
to you, wherever you are. Speaking of teachers and educators, I'd like to just quickly move on to a shout out for my alumni, Carleton Ravens, who secured their seventh championship in the last 9 years, a CIS championship, that is. Now, the team choked in the Wilson Cup, which is the OUA final against Lakehead a few weeks earlier, but managed to rally up and took home a pretty impressive victory. They absolutely dismantled Trinity Western Spartans.
Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, I can't say I'd heard too much about the Trinity Western Spartans before this tournament, but they didn't give exactly the best showing in the championship game there. When I was talking about educators, though, primarily the focus is on the one and only Dave Smart, who now has spent 9 years at Carleton's program as their head coach, and he's only lost 9 regular season games, and he's procured 7 CIS titles. He's also been able to recruit some of the best players in the country, including Aaron Dornacamp and now, what's this kid's name? Tyson Hines?
Taylor Hines.
I think Giannis has been saying it wrong so many times that it's in your head now, too.
What was the first one? I was calling him Tyson.
Tyler Tyson. I've heard a number Tyson, today, but Taylor. Yeah, Taylor Hines.
His name is Taylor Hines. We're MVP. So sorry, Taylor Hines. We know you're the MVP.
And you're obviously listening.
Yeah.
We're giving him free publicity. I don't think he cares.
This kid's pretty amazing, though. He's 6'6". He's got all the nice post moves. He can shoot the basketball, actually, in the game.
Second year.
Yeah, it's only his second year. He also was recruited by American schools, but is an Ottawa boy, so he decided to stay up in the country. And Matt, he won MVP of the CIS this year, and I believe he was also the tournament MVP, which makes him the only player to do that since, what, Osvaldo Genty in 2006?
Yeah, your boy Osvaldo Genty. Yeah. It's those Carleton Ravens.
So, Matt, like I mentioned on the show, you're a former Waterloo Warrior. You've spent 5 years playing in the CIS and in the OUA playing against Carleton. And actually, Matt is the still reigning champion of block shots at Waterloo.
Ooh, nice stat.
He also enjoys rainy days and long walks on the beach.
And he does, holding hands. He really loves to hold hands, even though they're clammy.
I was telling you guys earlier, that's what she said, is the leading ratings getter on this network. So if we can appeal to the female listeners, maybe with a 6'10", tall, dark, and handsome Matt Hayes.
If you just come by the booth and take a big look at this tall drink of water we have to my left here. Yeah.
Instead, they're looking at me for some reason.
Josh, I told you, it's the Jimmy Mangos effect.
I got to get the better mic spot.
Yeah. So, Matt, I guess the question I got to ask you, though, is what is it about the Carleton Ravens that makes them so different than all the other CIS programs? And what is it, I guess, about Dave Smart that makes him such a successful coach?
Well, you almost answered your first question with your second one there. What makes them different is Dave Smart. The way he recruits players is almost unique, where he won't recruit the best player out there. You won't see him going to Eastern Commerce trying to find a 25-point-a-game scorer. He's going to look for people who can score within his system. I don't remember who was interviewing him, but they asked him what he looks for, and it's guys who can pass the ball and smart basketball players. You look at the guys on
their
team.
Shoot the
three. Yeah, and guys who can shoot the ball. You look at guys on their team, and you know Taylor Hines and Mike Kenny and guys, and even guys in the past, at Dornacamp, they don't really look like basketball superstars. But
when I first saw Hines, I was a little taken back by his physique.
Yeah, you guys at home, Google him. He doesn't really look like a basketball player,
no,
but they're
certainly
smart.
Not a post player either.
Usually all five guys on the floor are really smart basketball players. They pass the ball really well, and they play really good positionally. So when they're looking to pass, there's always guys in the right spots. So they always make you pay. If you help off of anywhere, they're really good at finding the open man. If you're going to help off from the outside, they're going to shoot threes on you all day. And if you don't help on the inside, they have really solid post moves. They're just really, really sound in all the basic elements of basketball.
They definitely play a very fundamental style of basketball. They love the ball movement. They love to shoot that three ball. They usually have big guys that can also shoot the three ball as well and stretch the floor, which is always very nice. But yeah, you look at other teams, and even, like I said, I'm an Ottawa native. I used to attend University at Carleton, and I've been to many games. And there were years where the Ottawa U team would come in and have much more athletic players and look like they should win this game. And the games would not be close in most cases. Carleton would absolutely win outright because of the team ball.
Yeah, playing in the Ravens' Nest is something else, too. That's quite the experience.
Yeah, it's a brand-new facility in Carleton, I think, since 2006. The gym is quite a high-caliber high caliber
quite
facility.
Quite hype. Quite loud.
High. Yeah, it's loud. It can get pretty loud in the Ravens' Nest. The Ravens.
7 of 9 championships is pretty impressive. In any league, though, you win 7 championships in 9 years. It doesn't matter what league it is. CIS basketball, NCAA basketball, heck, tennis, anything. It's a pretty impressive feat. I got to give them credit where credit is due.
Tennis, you say.
So we give props to the Carleton Ravens, and we'd also like to give a little bit of a shout-out to one of the best rappers of all time, and that's Biggie Smalls.
Biggie!
14 Rest years ago and 5 days now, I guess. He was murdered, and so we would like to give a little shout out to the boy and play Unbelievable by Biggie Smalls from the album Ready to Die.
Unbelievable. Biggie Smalls is the illest. I damage and tear, MCs fear me. They too near not to hear me. Clearly, I'm the triple beam dream. 1,000 grams of uncut to the gut. It seems fucked up the way I touched up the grill. Trying to play gorilla when you ain't no killer. The gas by your liver, your upper lip quiver. You're ready to die, tell God I said hi. And throw down some ice for the nicest MC. Niggas know the steelo, unbelievable.
All right, and we're back. Now, gentlemen, big, big hoop day yesterday.
Before you go on there, Giannis, Tyson Hines, of all the names we called him there, it is Tyson Hines.
So did I have Tyson right in the first place? Did I say Tyson?
I'm sure one of us had him right at one point or the other.
That's good. Who's this kid again?
Tyson Hines.
Tyson Hines.
6'6 from Ottawa, Ontario, MVP of the CIS and the CIS Championship. Yeah. From the Carlton Ravens,
great
Tyson
year.
Hines.
Had an absolutely terrific year.
He's suing us now.
Yeah.
But we'll never forget his name.
No.
Yeah, now we will never forget Tyson. You are in the memory books. So, yeah, sorry, guys. But, yeah, big day yesterday, Selection Sunday.
Oh, was that yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was.
I was napping, actually, most of the day.
So. I was at work. Can't be that important. Go on.
Big day of games. The day before, a lot of teams winning outright their conferences, and then a lot of teams obviously being picked in based upon strength of schedule, RPI, etc., etc. And I guess my first question to you guys is were there any surprises to you in that bracket?
Selection-wise? Yeah, I didn't really think Florida was going to snag a number two spot, for one. I know they're talented.
The SEC's a little weak, and they got smashed right in their conference championship
game. Oh, yeah, they got killed. Kentucky dominated them. So
what's Kentucky, a four seed?
Yeah, them getting a two seed I thought was a little off, but... Yeah, that was the one thing that stuck out in the top end anyways.
Although Kentucky, to be fair, drew Princeton in the first round. That's got to be probably the weakest 12 seed
fair enough.
Out of them all.
Yeah, it was more seeding, I guess, in some cases that surprised me than people that were teams that were left out or included. Florida is definitely one that comes to mind for me as a two seed. But I will throw this out there. Excluding 2009... there has been at least one number two seed that's been eliminated in one of the first two rounds every year since 2000. So,
and I can tell you who it'll be.
Maybe Florida?
What else
you got, Giannis?
People are going to hate on me for this, but...
I do anyways.
My
so.
Second round upset involves a certain team from North Carolina.
Ooh.
That got a lot of hype coming down the stretch.
Baby blue wearing North Carolina team?
Baby blue wearing North Carolina team. They play in the West Division, I believe.
East.
Oh, they're in East?
North Carolina, yes. East Division.
Yeah, all right.
Second seed.
So we're playing the East Division there, and I think they're going to run into some trouble with a pretty veteran number 7 seed in Washington. Yeah,
I like them playing Long Island, too. Some Canadian content on that team.
Playing Long Island?
Yeah, first round.
In the first round, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about Washington is that they've got a lot of returning players this year, a lot of sophomores. For anyone that saw the Pac-10 final, it was absolutely terrific. It went into overtime. With Isaiah Thomas burying a buzzer beater. Isaiah Thomas, one of my favorites, got his first name from a bet his father made after losing a championship. His favorite team, sorry, is the Los Angeles Lakers. His best friend's favorite team was the Detroit Pistons. They made a wager on a championship game, and the Pistons happened to win, and hence Isaiah's name, but he has the biblical spelling. Anyway.
Yeah, to be clear, this is the NCAA player, not the jerk that may or may not be making Carmelo Anthony trades for the Knicks.
Yeah, this is not the
different Isaiah Thomas.
Incoming Nick.
And note to all the listeners out there, don't bet your children's names on basketball.
Especially ones that are terrible.
Unless
NBA
you're a big
executives.
Fan.
Yeah.
I made a joke in passing once with a Jets fan about the Seahawks and the Jets, similarly to that, but I don't think he'll ever hold me to it. Lord knows I wouldn't hold him to it. So, but I really like this Washington team. I think they're loaded with a lot of veteran talent. I like Vinoy Overton. I really like NBA. And again, Isaiah has just been a killer down the stretch. There's been a lot of talk about players like Kemba Walker and Jimmer Fredette, who we'll come around to in a bit. But I think Isaiah Thomas, being a small, slashing guard that can hit big shots, should draw some parallels to these guys.
Well, they'll definitely have to go through UNC round two, so I'll be watching.
Sure, and if they do go past UNC, then, again, Washington was predicted to be a better team than they are this year. They struggled a little bit. They came out of the gates hot in the Pac-10, and then they struggled down the stretch. But still, again, big wins over every team in that conference, and including Arizona in that conference championship game. So look out for Washington.
All right. Maybe I will.
Yeah, well, I kind of have to now. Giannis has told us. Anybody who didn't make it?
For me, the most notable team left out was Colorado.
Colorado, ooh.
Yeah, Colorado, I thought, deserved a bid. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but I thought that they were willing of getting a spot. The other team, which I still can't get over, is
Baylor.
The Baylor Bears, who got absolutely screwed. For those of you who don't know, they have one of the top three players in the country right now. His name is Perry Jones. This guy was suspended from playing in his conference tournament, and subsequently it cost the Baylor Bears a chance at getting a tournament bid because his mother accepted a loan from the team's head coach and paid it back. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, I had no say over my parents' finances, who they took money from, who they spoke to.
The rules in the NCAA are tight.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around over there. I'm trying to think whether or not I'd rather piss David Stern off or the gentlemen that run the NCAA, because they run a tight ship over there.
Now, see, I understand that rules are rules, but there's got to be a tipping point. And I think that this case in particular really points out to some of the really just absolute disgusting stuff that's going on in the NCAA right now. Last night, I actually tuned into the Fab Five documentary on ESPN, and one of the things that prompted Chris Webber to leave for the NBA and made him so frustrated being at Michigan was the fact that he was seeing his jersey being sold, his socks being sold, everything that Nike wanted to test, they would throw on him and they would run with it.
He probably wanted one or two more timeouts allotted, too, per team.
Yeah.
Well, in hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20 after all.
That's not considered a low blow anymore, is
it? We could all use an extra timeout or two, so I won't throw darts at C-Web.
I just feel like the NCAA is really struggling right now, saving face with some of these things. You've really hindered a kid's playing career now. You've taken away something that's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. If there's under the assumption that there is no lockout in the NBA next season, I think it's fair to say that Perry Jones would be a top three pick, and he will declare for the NBA draft.
After what just happened, damn right he'll declare.
Exactly. He's not coming back, and so Baylor has lost an opportunity. And Baylor is a team that's been to the tournament for the last couple of years, and they've made some moves in that tournament. They've been an exciting team to watch, and I was excited to see Perry Jones play. I don't watch a lot of Baylor games. The tournament is when I get associated with a lot of these guys, and I felt robbed.
Fair enough. And I'm going to argue against you to an extent here, because after all, it's really the team that loses out as far as the exposure, and Perry could use some more exposure too. Of course, it's going to drop him in the draft, if anything else. But at the same time, it's all about talent, and NBA scouts are not idiots here. They know what this kid is capable of.
Oh, Perry Jones will be fine.
Exactly, and that's why I feel bad for the team, obviously. It hurts them as a school, but as far as Perry goes, he will still get drafted. He will still do as well in the NBA as he was going to do regardless.
You really think that's true, though? You think
absolutely,
that if he goes deep,
absolutely.
If he was to go deep in the tournament, let's just say hypothetically, even though Baylor was not a very strong team,
it helps his exposure, but it would not help. It would not help his NBA future. Absolutely not. The
being
NBA
given a big game ball.
No,
like
NBA scouts know what he's capable of. Believe me,
that's for sure. But the thing is, though, is he was inconsistent throughout the year. There was times where he was, if you went on ESPN and did their draft simulator, he would be the unquestioned pick number one. Now, if you do it, he's somewhere around the 4 or 5 range, and I just have to feel like some of that has to do with this. And the other question I have is, what's going on with this head coach? Like, he's the one that lent out the money, and I've heard nothing on a suspension to him or any sanctions on him.
We don't know the context of that entire negotiation, so
again,
it's
though,
hard
what,
to
what
speculate.
What power does the kid have? I mean, you know, the mom obviously needs to think better there. But, again, how can you possibly suspend a kid for something he has absolutely zero control over? I mean, if the coach would have consulted him first, there would have been no consultation. Like, this kid would have had no bearing over his mother's finances. Anyways, we got to move on off this topic. It's just frustrating me. So some big other tournament surprises. Maybe some upsets, guys. You got some upsets in mind? I got one that's Mr. Jimmy Mangos won't like.
I've looked a lot at them. You always like to look at the 12 seeds because they always seem to upset somebody here and there. I like Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond seems like the 12 game.
Vanderbilt hasn't really impressed me a lot this year. I think Richmond could easily sweep in and upset them there. That's the one that stood out in my mind. I don't see any of the top seeds really losing.
I'm kind of enthralled by the Southeast region in that I think it's weak to an extent, but at the same time, it's so wide open at the same time that it's weak that I think it's going to be fun to watch. And the one team that I'm going to be watching especially this week, but going forward if they do move on, would be Michigan State as a 10 seed. I think they can, especially with the experience that they team coaching staff has over
really
the last
don't
few
want to
years.
Doubt Tom Izzo.
No, absolutely not.
No, he's got way too much experience.
And that, for those of you that have seen the UCLA Bruins play this year, they definitely have a lot of solid talent there. It's a very highly reputable school. It's a great program. John Wooden coached there, obviously. It's a major school. But this year, I don't see the consistency with this group.
That's a game, quite possibly, I might be looking most forward to this week.
Yeah,
it's a
big
Michigan
draw.
State's got a strong defensive team. And I see a big, big potential there for an upset in the first round.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, UCLA does have some nice talent.
Here's one for you guys. Marquette.
Josh Smith.
Marquette plays Xavier, 11 versus the 6. Marquette, the worst team in the Big East, but they got 11 teams in.
See, I got to go with Xavier here, and it's just for one reason only, and this is for Tu Holloway. This kid has been absolutely unreal this year for Xavier, and he's the reason that they're in the tournament. He leads their team in assists with 5.5 a game, and he also leads them in points with 20.3 points a game. This guy's putting up, he's a monster. He is absolutely decimating them, and he's putting up double-doubles, you name it. This kid's a beast, and I think in a tournament game, when you want to look at who's got the edge, you go who's got the better player, and I think in this case it's Xavier, and Xavier moves on in the first round.
Matty Ice, who's the first number one seed to fall?
Ooh, good question. The first number one seed to fall. Well, I wasn't surprised by any of the number one seeds for starters. I was talking about this with my roommate.
I was a little disappointed Notre Dame didn't get a little bit more of a look. I thought that
I thought they were going to end up with a two. If they didn't win
the two is fair, and I know they didn't win their conference tournament, but I just thought they've got the highest amount of quality wins. They had a very difficult schedule, obviously. They surprised a ton of teams. They've got a lot of talent there. Obviously, Ben Hansbrough has been unreal this year, and Tim Abramidis has been solid again this year. They lost. Was Herren Gotti left last year?
Yes.
Yeah, he was their big guy. Yeah, he's
number one seed to lose.
And they've moved on flawlessly without him.
I gotta look. I want Duke to lose. I don't think they will.
I think that's a pretty common theme among college hoops fans.
You're not a Dukie?
I'm not a Dukie. I'm not a North Carolina guy either, though, so I kind of just walk the line there and just hope they both lose. I'm going to go with Pitt. They didn't really impress me overall. Well, they impressed me to an extent, but out of the one seeds, Kansas, I think, is going to go deep.
Who knocks Pitt out, though? Because if you look at it...
That's the hardest thing to say. I would actually go back to the Southeast as well and say Pitt, but... Like I said, it's so wide
open.
Though,
if you're talking about the earliest team to get knocked out, you've got to think that
You don't think Butler or Old Dominion?
I don't think Butler or Old Dominion can upset Pittsburgh. And I know they lost that big game. Who did they? They lost an upset to somebody recently.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh in their conference.
I think there was a conference game against the UConn Huskies where Kemba Walker hit an absolutely incredible game winner. Yeah,
as he tends to
they've
do.
They've shown a little bit of propensity to choke a little
but,
bit.
But, I don't know, something about that Pitt team. Like, they just have had such, I don't want to say bad luck, but they've done so poorly in tournaments of the past that I just keep coming back to them, and I keep coming back to that region there, and I see so many teams that
region
could potentially
really is open.
Yep,
you look
absolutely
at even this 5-12 the 4-5 seeds in this division are Kansas State.
I was looking at
Wisconsin
as maybe the team to do it.
Yeah, and again, when we talk about top players there, we got to mention Jacob Pullen from Kansas State. And again, when you've got a player of that caliber, there's no telling how far your team can go. And of course, though, the same can be said for Pitt, because they have what I think would be the best shooter in the country outside of Jimmer Fredette right now, in Ashton Gibbs. He shoots 48% from the three-point line. That's absolutely
I'm glad ridiculous. You gave the exception with Jimmer there.
Oh, you can't exclude Jimmer. Jimmer's number one.
And we'll get there, I'm sure.
Even though Ashton is shooting this ridiculous free throw or this three-point percentage, 48% is pretty astronomical.
It's tough shooting that percentage in front of 15,000 people, though.
Yeah, plus he averages pretty close to 17 points a game. He's a beast. And again, you look at tournament histories, and it's shooters that tend to make a very large impact. You look at Steph Curry with the Davidson Wildcats years back, and the kid was unstoppable just because he's shooting three-pointers from deep, and that's the same threat that guys like Ashton Gibbs and Kemba Walker and Jimmer Fredette pose to you. You know, you need to guard them out high, maybe a little less on the Kemba side.
Yeah, but he has a lot of
for sure.
Moves in his arsenal beyond that.
So. That's why the tournament, in my opinion, is so fascinating, because like you said, the shooters really stand out. You got a lot of defensive players that stand out.
It's the characters.
And then the question is, at that point, do these players translate well to the NBA, which I know we'll talk about later, but I mean, you got a Stephen Curry who I thought had no shot.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Exactly. J.J. Redick, like, there are so many cases where
Let's be fair, J.J. Redick is pretty much half of an NBA player, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. So you have one case where you have a Stephen Curry dominates the tournament, goes to the NBA, will he do well, won't he do well? I said no. I was shocked. I was shocked when he made such a seamless transition, and he still is today.
He seemed like a tweener, right? He seemed like one of those guys that didn't really quite fit the point guard mold.
He seemed like a shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
He ended up with the right team, though, for sure.
An undersized shooter.
For sure, but his point guard talents, his ability to run a team, have developed more than I thought that they could.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, like I was saying, you have J.J. Redick, someone who, in his own right, dominated the tournament, another shooter that, and again, you can make excuses for him. You can say he's played on a great team that hasn't really given him the opportunity. But there's a case where a shooter didn't make that same transition to the NBA. So that's why this is a fun tournament to watch. It's fun to see who steps up versus who is going to be basically on the highlight reels coming up a year from now in the NBA.
I think Jimmer Fredette especially faces some of the – he's been on record comparing himself more so towards the Deron Williams mold. And while I do agree with him on the offensive side, and especially when he does take the ball to the basket, if you look at him defensively, he's got holes.
And you don't want to say he's a liability, but yeah, holes.
Do you think he can run a team like D-Will?
No.
Not right now.
Yeah,
because that's a big comparison to make on his part.
Well, especially since...
I think I'm like Deron Williams too, but... The reality of the situation. Yeah.
Well, I guess he's trying to break out of the stereotypical mold where if you're white, you always get compared to a white player. If you're black, you always get compared to a black player. It's pretty hard to break out of those molds. So I don't mind when players, even if it's a bit of a reach for them, if they just try to kind of break down that mold, because I find that silly. Like if you look at like the NFL, for example, every time a white receiver comes in, he's the next Wes Welker. You know, he's got heart. That's like that.
No, I absolutely hear you. One site that I use quite frequently is NBADraft.net, which I'll be referring to in a little bit as well when we talk about Kemba versus Jimmer.
Yeah.
And the one thing that site has when you look at the mock drafts is they compare each player to somebody that's already in the NBA, and it almost seems like the NBA comparison is a lookalike comparison rather than I think there's I don't know his name at the top of my head, but there's a 7-foot Lithuanian gentleman, I believe, who's going in the first round. His NBA comparison is quite obviously Andrea Bargnani.
Yeah.
Because who else would he play like?
Even though apparently he plays with a lot more physicality than Andrea. And again, I'm spacing on that guy's name as well, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
I don't get it.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing I'd like to know is, you got any players to watch?
Well, this might just be the Canadian in me, but you look at Texas, there's two of them.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Corey Joseph, and my guy I was going to go with was Tristan Thompson. He leads that team in rebounding. He's young. He's a freshman.
He's very athletic.
Super athletic. He's 6'9", I'm pretty sure he's listed at. And Texas is going to be a team I'm going to watch for a lot of the tournament for the, both Canadian content, and they were ranked really high earlier in the season. They underachieved a lot.
That's the problem I have with Texas, though, is that they were so inconsistent down the stretch, and they blew so many games where it was like, you have this one seed if you can just win
these games.
That's
the beauty of
this
tournament, though. Consistency is almost thrown out the window because it's one and done. There's no 5-7 game series. It's who can go on a run right now.
They've also got that Hamilton guy there that can fill it up. Mm-hmm. They're a strong club. I don't see the consistency. I've got Texas pegged as one of my early bounce teams. I think that Oakland is actually going to press them really, really hard. I think that Oakland game is going to be a shocker to a lot of people.
I think that's going
to
be a close one.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot closer than people think. But then right after that, they run into Arizona if they win. Like Arizona's coming out of there. Arizona's beating Memphis. They got Derek Williams. That's I was gonna say. One of these guys you got to look out for is Derek Williams.
Oh, I agree. They'll go through Memphis.
This kid's a beast for the Arizona Wildcats. Derek Williams. If you haven't had a chance to watch him, again, he's another guy that projects to be somewhere in the top three. He's probably the best scoring big man out of any. You think that's fair? Best scoring big man out of everybody in the tournament right now.
Yeah. Maybe not the best pure big, but certainly
no,
scoring.
But scoring wise,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's quite impressive. And he doesn't draw very good parallels, though, to the NBA, right?
Shall we take a look to see who NBA
draft.net
has?
Who does he look like most?
we got two of them here. We got a David West / Michael Beasley comparison.
Two players that don't play anything alike. Yeah. No, not even slightly.
Great.
No.
Yeah, that's really great. Michael Beasley and David West. Wow, those guys are so similar.
And draft.net has them projected. Numero... I don't know how to say one. Numero uno.
Yeah, he's like I said. This kid's probably right now. It's him.
My foreign languages are not.
Yeah, Jared Sullinger, I think, would be with him up in the top two there right now. But I think those are the only two serious guys.
Sullinger's actually who I'm most looking forward to watching in the tournament. I mean, all eyes are on the big scores, like we were saying earlier, the shooters. But you have a 285-pound beast on Ohio State that I'm looking forward to watching. He's quite possibly the best pure big in the tournament. So
yeah, I agree with that.
I almost avoided talking about him just because I knew everybody else was.
Yeah, he's a pretty impressive character, that guy. The only problem I guess I have with Sullinger is, again, when we talk about translating over to the NBA, I don't really see where this guy improves that drastically. Like, I don't see him as a number one pick, you know what I mean? Like, at least with Derek Williams, you can invest in somebody that can just get you buckets on a consistent basis. I feel like if you really want to compare Jared Sullinger to somebody, I think someone right now that would be fair is DeJuan Blair. You look at the career DeJuan Blair had at Pittsburgh, and he was a top caliber power forward.
He was a steal in the draft.
He fell, but it was because of his knees, right? Like he's one of those guys
like
Brandon Roy. Yeah,
I was gonna go someone a little bit more recent and say DeMarcus Cousins, just like overall size, maybe undersized as far as
just
height,
not
but
nowhere near the same terrible, terrible attitude, work ethic of DeMarcus Cousins.
To his credit.
Yeah, to his credit. Or whatever DeMarcus Cousins is thinking these days in Sacramento. That's a different story. And I guess the last couple guys I'd like to briefly mention is, of course, Ben Hansbrough at Notre Dame. He's had a tour. I mentioned him before briefly, but this guy, if you haven't watched Notre Dame this year, they were not projected to even be in the tournament for that matter, and they have looked like the best team in the best conference. Which, you know, makes you wonder about who these prognosticators really
are. And kudos to Hansbrough for breaking out of a pretty big shadow.
Yeah, he did.
Like, when your brother goes through a career like he did it, like Tyler did at North Carolina.
And Tyler was a god at North Carolina.
Tyler still is a god if he goes to North Carolina.
He
making some noise in Indiana recently, too.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to.
He had his season high, though, yesterday?
He did.
Or 29 career points. High? 29. Wow.
I would render a guess that that's probably his career high.
I would render a guess that you're right.
If someone would have offered me the over-under on Tyler Hansbrough scoring 29 points this season, I'd have locked into the under so fast.
Fantasy basketball junkies, playoffs are coming up. If Tyler Hansbrough is available in your league, pick him up.
And this is coming from, of course, our fantasy guru, Josh Lewinberg, who will be delivering you some fantasy tidbits every single week.
Pacers are hungry. They're fighting for that spot. Oh, that spot is brutal.
Chaos.
Brutal. Whoever makes it into that 8th seed. Yeah. Going to be an easy buy in the first round for Boston.
So who's going to win this tournament?
Kansas.
Yeah, that's... I, I kind of got that feeling too.
Yeah, I don't like agreeing with Matty Hayes over there, but in a tournament where I feel like depth is going to be a huge issue rather than star power, Kansas is the deepest team in the tournament, yeah, in my opinion.
Really. You talk about star power. Well, they have twins. Yeah. They have twin star power. Morris brothers have done it all year.
Yeah, they've got a nice program set up there, and I'm going to lock in with Kansas too.
That being said, I just said Kansas as the first thing that popped in my mind. There's
I think if you've got to ride one team right now, though, it's
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that a number one seed is going to win the tournament.
Ooh, we're creative.
Yeah,
we are,
and all agree.
If you want to go with momentum, though, the UConn Huskies, 5 games, 5 days, Big East title, beating some big teams.
And if you want to go with a Canadian team, you want to be watching the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Gonzaga is what, a 6 seed? No, sorry, what are they?
They're a little lower than that.
They're lower than that. They won their bid through the West Coast Conference. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, for those of you who don't know, feature 3 Canadians on their team. One, a starter named
Robert Zachary from BC.
Yeah, British Columbia. They've got 2 other guys that came up together. They're both from Toronto.
Kelly Olynyk.
Mandigo something.
Yeah, I can never remember his last name.
I'm so sorry.
He goes by Manny, but
yeah. It's a team loaded with Canadian talent, and also as an extra kicker. Gonzaga's most famous alumni, potentially anyways, that played in the NBA. His son is currently playing, and that's the son of former great John Stockton, David Stockton. He's the point guard for that team.
Ooh, they have it tough, though. They are 11 seed up against the St. John Red Storm.
Yeah, that's a really tough draw.
And if they win that, they get Jimmer.
Yeah, they
lucky.
Lucky draw. So, yeah.
Okay, we're running a little short on time in this segment, so we're just going to quickly wrap it up and go to a song. And I guess...
What are you singing for us, Giannis?
What do you have, DJ Giannis?
What would I like to sing today? Actually, I'll leave it up to Raekwon, and I'll let him take over with Criminology.
Another one. Julio Iglesias. Make it cream like that, nigga. Yo, bust the roar, son, beat the arson. Many brothers I be sparking and busting, man, light inside the dark, call me Dose Snatcher. Just a brother for the rapture. I hang glide, holding on strong, hard to capture. Extravagant, risen, bake the track, and it's militant. Then I react like a convict and start killing shit. It's manifested. The guards work like appliances. Dealing in my cipher, I revolve around sciences. The ninth chamber, they get trapped inside my hallway. You try to flee, but you got smoke right by the doorway. No question, I send your ass back right to the essence. Your whole frame is smothered in dirt. Now how you resting? Well, I'll be trapped by sounds, locked behind loops, throwing niggas off airplanes with cash rules. Everything around me black, as you can see. Swallow this murder one verse like God degree, then analyze my soundtrack with satisfaction. You adapt like a flashback chain reaction.
Lace them niggas, son. AK's black, bust back like 70 max. I'm all that street niggas knowing my steez black. Raw G, you know he coincide with me, see? Marvelous, business, both society. But anyway, left toast. Champagne thoughts with ghosts. I max the most. Shotguns through the notes. Fuck rap, hip hop for me, York's out. Low wears, and Tommy Hill fly shit with a knot. The witty, unpredictable live shit. Drive by shit, do a dash shit. I take your lying shit. And then you know, I'm running through the P now. Fair. Walk through showers, wow. The old lady snitch, but fuck it. You know it, one love, kid. No, I'm not doing a bit. Too much to get for what? Cause 6 niggas got stuck in the nigga chain was struck. Yo, fuck that. Criminology rap. Sneaker state jet black. Floating in the flies, app, nigga. Bring it.
All right, so welcome back. Now we'd like to get to a segment of our show that we call the 24-second shot clock. And this is where I'll be posing questions to each Josh and Matt. They will be answering me within a 24-second allotment, and I will be asking them questions about the NBA. So we'll start off with this one, gentlemen. There's big news in the league last night. Kevin Love had 53 straight double-doubles. He had smashed Moses Malone's record. It ended last night in Golden State at 53. So I guess... my question to you is, can he do this again? Is this a fluke? And if it's not him, who can it be?
I think absolutely he can do it again. He even said so on his Twitter, look forward to the next streak. And if he doesn't, look at Blake Griffin. Like, that's your next best bet to do it with the rebounds he can grab.
It would have to be Blake Griffin because it has to be a great player on a terrible team. I mean, that's how Love did it to begin with. You know how I feel about Kevin Love. Great player, but Minnesota padded those double-doubles for him, and I'm surprised they took him out with 4 minutes to go last night and didn't allow him to stay in there to get that double-double.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange. All right, next question. Russell Westbrook. He's the, fourth player to record 4,000 points, 1,500 assists, and 1,000 rebounds in his first three seasons in the NBA. He joined some pretty elite company there. So what do you guys think? Is he the most underrated player in the NBA right now, Russell Westbrook?
I think if you just look at the depth of the point guard position, then yeah, you really have to give it to him. Because you talk about elite point guards, and you don't really bring up Russell Westbrook. You talk about your Derrick Rose, your Deron Williams, Steve Nash, Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo, and Westbrook's not usually in the top five.
And those guys, just as we mentioned, have not done what he's done statistically so far, speaking-wise, especially from a points perspective.
Yeah.
You say statistically, and I'm going to stress that, because the dude will get his due, believe me, and it's coming in a few months. Once this team starts making noise in the playoffs like they will, Durant's going to get his due, and so will Westbrook. I mean, it's coming. He's a great player.
Durant's not getting his due?
Not as much as he should, playing in OKC. Believe me, once they start winning playoff games, which they will,
I think,
and winning playoff series.
In my opinion, we could just leave OKC alone completely and neglect them 100%. For those of you that don't know, I was a Seattle Supersonics.
A little fan. Seattle Supersonics bite there.
A little bit of
throwing darts.
ouch, that brought up some bad memories right there. That was a tough one to...
Well, wait till we start talking about Sacramento Arena. That might really start bringing back bad memories, right?
Don't cry on the mic, man. Don't
so
cry
my
on the mic.
My next question is the Mavericks. They played the Knicks last week. And Corey Brewer there, he's a new Maverick. And the Mavericks kind of put a little bit of a beat down on those New York Knicks.
And it was all Corey Brewer, of course.
Well, I can't say that anyone took more pleasure than Corey Brewer. And while he's not like the most impact player, you can't deny that this guy can play really, really solid defense, and that he's a guy that can come in and fill minutes. And on a team like the Knicks, I got to wonder, between you two, was that a bad move, letting him go?
I can't believe that they let him go. We were looking at a team that's going to make the playoffs in the East against some of the most elite guards out there, and Wade and James, and they give up one of the best, would have been the best defender on their team if he was
still
there.
Leading. He's up there in the league leading for steals still, right?
And if you're a playoff team, how can you give up a defender like that?
I'm on the fence. I mean, he is what he is. He's not a great player. He's a good defender. I do like the Knicks rotation players. I think Sean Williams is solid. I think Tony Douglas is very solid as well. But he could help them defensively. I don't know if he's going to change he would have changed the defensive culture in New York. He's only one man in that team, believe me, has their set of issues. But he definitely could have helped. He wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah, see, for me, I'm more on the fence, like Josh said. I don't really understand why they cut him. But I do see that, like, this Tony Douglas guy, he was the ACC, I think, Defensive Player of the Year at one point. This guy can play D, man. Like, he's been a defensive player, on the ACC Conference defensive team. He's a solid guy. He went to Florida State, by the way, for those of you that don't know. Yeah, he's a solid defender, and I think that they just didn't have the minutes to divide it up.
The Brew Crew would have made a difference, but it's not going to make a difference
in
whether or not they make it to
the
second round
or
the third round. Exactly, it would have been tough. Yeah,
you've got your rookie there, Landry Fields, right?
Yep.
And he's playing. He's
right now he's their best defender.
Exactly, and you got Douglas there, and you've got
Sean Williams.
Yeah, it's a loaded team at that position right now, and I think part of that release definitely had to do with the fact that Brewer wanted out. I think that he saw the situation in New York and was like, I don't know why you guys went out and got me, but I'm not going to be happy.
Nonetheless, good fit for the Mavs. He's not going to play big minutes, but he can kind of help fill the gap until Caron Butler comes back, if he does come back in the playoffs at all.
All right, last question, guys. Howard. He just recently served a suspension, 16 technical fouls. Now Amari Stoudemire.
Stan Van Gundy had something to say about that, I believe.
Yeah. Which was?
Which was comparing David Stern to... Gaddafi and Mubarak, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty funny stuff.
Stern didn't like that.
So another big premier superstar athlete and forward and center is facing potential sanctions as well. And Amari Stoudemire, he's one more away. So I guess I got to ask you guys, is he going to be able to go the rest of the season without getting that tech?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. So what I'm going to suggest is that he does some strategic cursing let's say, and drops an F-bomb before a game in which they're playing maybe the Cavs or maybe a team where they don't need him. Because, if he gets that technical before a big game that they need to win.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
He's really got to be careful. And that's why I know this is
strategic.
It sounds ridiculous, but strategic technicals. I think he can do it. I think that Amari can settle down and realize that he is a major, major part of this team and they need him to be successful.
I think you're delusional.
I think you can keep it under control.
The city, New York, and the words willpower, or the the word willpower, one word or two?
Two
words.
Yeah.
Those two things have never really gone together so well, New York and willpower. Yeah, so, I don't know.
And New York Knicks and their egos don't exactly go.
Certainly not. So, strategically place that next technical foul.
Good luck, Giannis, with that one.
All right, great. So, I guess, now moving on from that, there's a major issue that I want to address, and it's very close to my heart because, I used to be a massive Seattle Supersonics fan, and I endured heartache that no fan should endure when I lost my team to relocation to Oklahoma City.
Cue the violins.
Yeah. So, anyways, there's a lot of news coming out of Sacramento right now. It's no longer Arco Arena. It's now the Power Bar, Power Energy. Oh, God. They renamed the stadium there. Anyways, the notion there is that the Kings are going to be leaving Sacramento and heading to Anaheim as early as next season. And the reason for this being that these brothers, the Maloofs, that were super popular in the past few years, especially when the Kings were in the playoffs, and these guys were sideline yuppies, if you will, yucking it up, having a great time. Now they want to leave Sacramento. The mayor of Sacramento has stated that in discussions with them, they seem very, very intent to move this ball club to Anaheim. And again, the principal reason is financial. And these Maloof brothers, they own a casino called the Palms. They attempted to get a loan on this casino of $100 million and have been shut down and denied this loan. And basically, the owner of the Honda Center in Anaheim has offered them a $100 million loan to move the franchise next year. Now, they have until, I believe, April 18th in order to file to move for next season.
They had an extension on that. Am I right?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's a tragic situation. I mean, I'm gonna throw out some parallels to what's going on in the NHL right now. And there's a lot of teams that just frankly aren't succeeding in certain locations just quite simply because they're not hockey towns. And that's not the case in Sacramento as far as basketball goes. This is a successful basketball market. It has been in the past. I mean, it doesn't seem too long ago when no one wanted to play in Arco Arena. It was the craziest place to play in the NBA.
Doug Christie, Vlade Divac, Peja.
Not so long ago at all. And there are a few calls that were somewhat questionable away from making it to the finals, was it not?
True, yeah.
They were
involved in some of that Donahue scandal with
exactly.
The refereeing.
So the best comparison that I can think of is the one that's so near and dear to your heart in Seattle, because here's a team just like the one in Seattle that has had success there, that has a strong fan base, that maybe now isn't as strong as it was, quite simply because they're not winning. But
they've got some pieces there, though. Like if we mentioned Marcus Cousins, if he can
Tyreke Evans,
Like Seattle. So I mean, you know it well. Just I can't imagine how terrible it must be for these fans that look at what happened to Seattle with Kevin Durant and see this young talent that they have on this team, and just think about the idea that in a few years they might be watching this team play in Anaheim. It's terrible.
It just really bothers me how little the fans seem to be coming into play more recently in these NBA years. You have David Stern in one end talking about just contracting the New Orleans Hornets like it's no big deal.
Cough.
Using it as a bargaining
Mubarak.
Chip. Oh, God.
Cough.
And you've got Sacramento relocating, and then meanwhile he goes on the Bill Simmons show and he talks about how relocation is the ultimate failure and how this is the last thing the NBA wants. But I don't really see David Stern, for those of you that don't know, is very close with Clay Bennett, the guy that moved the Sonics, had no problem with this move. He didn't have a problem with the Grizzlies moving to Memphis, even though, again, now he claims it's a big mistake.
Talk about an ego. Look at David Stern. Oh, look at the guy.
Yeah, it has to be the smartest
with
guy
the
in the
first
room,
pick in the NBA draft.
Oh, I can't wait.
Which year was it that he rigged?
That.
Other than the Boston one, or sorry, the Boston one, the Chicago one recently with Derrick Rose getting picked to Chicago, that was rigged. But the Patrick Ewing draft, what year was that? 88. I know that's way too early, very late.
Back in the day,
I shouldn't be throwing stones. He's by a mile my favorite commissioner, but
oh, you compare him to Batman or oh
yeah
over Roger.
It's very close with him and over Roger. But this is a basketball program, Roger? So David Stern.
All right, guys. So yeah, we're running out of time here. So some games maybe this week that you're looking forward to
tonight.
Some action tonight.
Considering when most people will most likely hear this podcast, these games will be over. But definitely things that you might want to look back on are the games that are going on tonight.
For Orlando and LA, San Antonio, Miami.
Absolutely.
And I think there's some games on Thursday too.
Yeah, Thursday.
They're not great as far as I remember.
He's joking. It's the tournament.
We got Chicago, New Jersey, thumbs down. Memphis, New York, thumbs down. And Cleveland, Portland, major thumbs down.
Cleveland, major thumbs down.
Although I love me some Trailblazers.
Yeah, everyone knows Josh Lewenberg and his Trailblazers. What, you got 101 or 100-1 bet on them winning the NBA?
Absolutely, and they
that's
will.
That's a great bet.
And they
will. That's already dropped.
LaMarcus Aldridge, baby. Yeah. LMA. LMA.
Yeah, it's LaMarcus and No Knees Roy. I'm sorry, Roy, you're a Seattle boy. I didn't mean to harp on you.
Thursday and Friday and the weekend, NCAA March Madness Tournament starts. If you're not watching that, you're not listening to the show.
Yeah, and something else that you guys should be listening to intently this week is Sports Radio Jax.
One of the hottest shows, I hear.
What's up with the Sports Radio Jax, Josh?
Well, this week we're going to be talking a little bit over what we missed over the last couple weeks with Miami Heat Crygate. We're going to talk a little bit Pacioretty, and we're going to be previewing the AL and the Toronto Blue Jays.
I don't see why you have to get on them for crying.
This show's terrific for those of you that don't already listen to it. I really suggest you tune in. It's on the Centennial website or under all the podcasts that you guys air Wednesdays.
We go live Wednesdays, yeah. And the podcast is normally up on the site Thursday or Friday, and if you haven't heard him, Jimmy Mangos is an interesting, controversial character you should definitely check out.
Jimmy Mangos.
Definitely provides some color to that show. Definitely
JTS.
Provides some color.
JTS.
So, yeah, give it a listen.
Yeah, give it a listen. All right, folks, that's our show for the week. Gonna kick you out on a little bit of Mad Villain with all caps.
That is probably somewhat of a travesty having me. Then he told the people, you can call me your majesty. Keep your battery charged. He know it won't stick, yo. And it's not his fault you kick slow. Should've let your trick hold, chick hold your sick glow. Plus nobody couldn't do nothing once he let the brick go. And you know I know, that's a bunch of snow. The beat is so butter. Peep the slow cutter as he utter the calm flow. Don't talk about my mom, yo. Sometimes he rhyme quick, sometimes he rhyme slow, or vice versa. Whip up a slice of nice verse pie, hit it on the first try, villain, the worst guy. Spot hot tracks like spot a pair of fat asses. Shots of the scotch from out the square shot glasses. And he won't stop till he got the masses. And show him what they know not through flows of hot molasses. Do it like the robot to head spin to boogaloo. Took a few minutes to convince the average boogaloo. It's ugly, like look at you, it's a damn shame. Just remember all caps when you spell the man name. Like a poet, like baby doll. I bet she tried to say she gave me her all. She played ball. All bets off. The villain got the dice rigged. And they say he accosted the man with the sliced wig. Allegedly, the investigation is still ongoing. In this pesky nation, he got the best con flowing. The pot doubles. Nah, they really got troubles. Madman never go like snot bubbles.